Thank you for tuning in. My name's Renee Cicchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. For months, the debate over how to secure America's leaky southern border and what to do with the millions of illegal immigrants currently residing in the U.S. has been growing. And the issue has become one of the hottest political issues in recent years. Joining us this afternoon is U.S. Congressman Tom Tancredo from Colorado, who has been the only consistent voice in government warning us of the repercussions of a weak immigration policy, an amnesty program, and the mishandling of the ever-present problem. Representative Tancredo joins us this afternoon to discuss the immigration issue and his new book. It's titled In Mortal Danger, The Battle for America's Border and Security. Thank you so much for joining us, Representative Tancredo.
Well, it's a pleasure to do that.
Well, among others, I know you serve on many committees, but you serve in Congress on the International Relations Committee, the Budget Committee, and you are chairman of the Congressional Immigration Reform Caucus, which sounds like it all provides you an up-close and personal look at the immigration issue from the federal government's viewpoint.
Well, certainly that is the case with the Immigration Reform Caucus. Being the chairman has allowed me to, over the last several years now, really not only become more acquainted with the issue myself, which I think I pretty much was even when I got here, because I've been dealing with it since I was in the state legislature almost 30 years ago. But it has given me an opportunity to expand the number of my colleagues who have become informed to the point where we were actually able to pass a pretty good bill in December that is enforcement only. Now, of course, we've got the Senate problem on our hands, but nonetheless, the House has done the right thing.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I think most Americans can agree that our immigration system is broken. Do you think it can be fixed? I mean, you mentioned that the House has passed an enforcement-only provision. We've got a lot of trouble over on the Senate side, though. Can this be fixed?
Well, the question, the basic question, can it be fixed? The answer is yes, it can. The question is, how will it be fixed? When will it be fixed? Those are important ones. Let me suggest that something that is happening is very positive. I've seen it now in my own state of Colorado, and there are 30 states in the nation which have actually passed something, sometimes very insignificant, but passed something that is meaningful or something to do with illegal immigration and trying to stop it. Colorado had a special session called by the governor. I mean, this is amazing, honestly, to have a special session in a state legislature called by the governor for one purpose, and one purpose only, because the issue is so hot, I guess, is the best way to describe it, and that was to come up with some sort of plan for the state of Colorado. And what they did was pass something that said no one will be able to obtain social service benefits in the state without proving their residency, and also no illegal alien would be able to obtain state-sponsored or state-subsidized higher education. And so what's happening is that as the federal government sort of fails to respond, you see it naturally falling to the states, and believe me, states are doing it. Alabama, Florida, and Georgia have passed, Georgia especially, passed a great piece of legislation. So can we fix it? Yes. The components of that fix are complex and varied, and the question is, I guess, who a race to the finish line between the states and the federal government.
Well, okay, if 30 states have now done a pretty good job of passing it, do we still need federal legislation?
Well, yeah. When I say 30 states, remember, most of those states have just passed you'd almost say insignificant things. Only I'd say five or six have really passed measures that would be identified as substantive. But the federal government, eventually, it has to fall to the federal government to do something about the borders. I mean, even if you were successful in getting every state in the nation to do something about employment, let's say having every state pass a law that says you can't get a license to do business in the state if you do not, unless you can show that your employees are legal residents. and requiring all employees of state government, anybody contracts with state government. There's a whole bunch of things you could do like that, but you'd still have the issue of, you know, the potential for terrorists coming across the border, all the drug activity on the border. I mean, individual states can't do much about that. So no matter what, even if we were to stem the flow of the millions of people coming for the, quote, no job, I mean, the job that no American wants, unquote, even if you could stem that flow, you'd still have a strong reason to build the barrier, put the military on the border in places where we have to, and strengthen the borders with especially human and high-tech resources like unmanned aerial vehicles. We can secure our borders. That is one thing your listeners must understand, believe, and I, you know, would do anything to try and prove to them that we can do it. It is a doable project. It simply takes the will to do so, and that's what we're trying to build up. Because believe me, there are people here in the Congress and even in the White House who want open borders. They see the free flow of both goods and services, which, you know, that's fine, and people as being important from an economic standpoint, that people should be allowed to move across borders without being impeded for markets. If there is a market for labor at a lower price than you're presently paying, and that market happens to be so good that somebody from Ecuador be willing to make the trek up here and do it, then so what? Borders shouldn't matter. That it should just be a market. And if somebody would work for even less from Guatemala, that would be fine. And somebody less from the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, that would be fine. So it would just be the market for labor that would determine how people could come across borders. Of course, I don't believe in that, but I'm telling you there are people here that do, and hence we have failed to secure the borders.
The choices that we have to resolve the immigration crisis, I mean, they're as varied as the alphabet soup letters that are going to be in my kids' dinner bowl tonight. We've got amnesty, we've got the guest worker program, we've got a security fence. Congressman Tancredo, in your book, Mortal Danger, it's very clear that you oppose allowing illegal immigrants to obtain legal status by a means other than, say, returning to their home countries and applying from there. Why is that system the fairest?
Well, I would say that the only way that even that system would work is if people were to leave without having been identified here as here illegally. I mean, just on their own, go home. Get in line and come back. If we identify them as here illegally, if they come to our attention in that form, then I am for saying that they never can get access to the United States, or at least not for a long, long time, because they have broken the law. And if you do not, I'll put it this way, if you reward that kind of behavior, I assure you, all you're going to get is a lot more of that kind of behavior. In 1986, in the hope, in the vain hope, that we would be able to do exactly what everything is being, what the Senate is now promising, that is, give amnesty and then border security. In the vain hope of that, we passed a bill. It was called the Simpson-Mazzoli Act. And we are paying the price for it today. And Senator Simpson, Wyoming, who's no longer in the Senate, but he said not too long ago it was the biggest mistake he ever made when he was here. And it's true, because we ended up with, instead of the 1 million they thought they would give amnesty to, it was 3 million, and we ended up with another 15 to 20 million here afterwards, because, of course, you reward illegal behavior. You give amnesty to people who are here illegally, then people come to both get that amnesty and to get the next one. Because they know that we will not enforce the law. They know that if they get past the guy on the line, that border patrolman, or border patrol woman, as the case may be, if they get past them into the interior, they're home free. nothing is going to happen. They're never going to get deported. They're going to get a job. The employer is not afraid because we do not do enforcement anymore of employers. I mean, I think last year we had a total of 3 in the entire country that, you know, where we actually cited somebody for hiring people who are here illegally. It's incredible, but that's what happens when you don't enforce the law.
Would enforcing our existing laws on immigration then be enough to solve our problem, or are we just well beyond that?
No, ma'am. If we actually enforce the law, I mean, I always say to them, people say, well, what can we do? And I say, well, 3 words come to mind immediately, and they're radical in their approach, I know, but let's try it out, and let's just see, and it's enforce the law. And by doing that, I mean the law on the border. You know, it says you can't come into this country without our permission, our knowledge. And so enforce that by securing the border. There's a law that says you can't hire people who are here illegally. Enforce that aggressively. And I assure you, if you do those 2 things, you will have this problem pretty well lit. Now, there's another problem that I talk about in the book, and it's even bigger. And I know it's, you know, you think it's even bigger than this massive illegal immigration, but yes, it is. And that's the fact that we have, and done this, by the way, to ourselves. You can't blame anybody else for this, but we are really in the grip of the cult of multiculturalism. This is a philosophy that says it's way beyond just enjoying diversity. It's enshrining it. It's suggesting that in order to appreciate someone else's culture, you have to debase and demean your own. It's a hatred for America that spews out of classrooms and textbooks and TV programs and the media in general. It's the face of it. I always refer to a guy by the name of Ward Churchill, who's a professor at the University of Colorado. Mm-hmm. He's the one that said that everybody that died in the 9/11 tragedy was everybody that died in the World Trade Towers was actually they were all little Eichmann. They all deserved it because they were all part of this horrible thing called the United States and the West in general. And this is not unique, and it's happening. It's happening in a way, and we are not assimilating people who are coming here. And when you, on the one hand, don't try to assimilate people who come here as immigrants, and on the other hand, as an immigrant, they have no strong desire to assimilate. We've got millions of people coming into the country today who do not want to be American, who simply come for the economic advantage, but retain their linguistic and political loyalty to the country of origin. And this, I'm saying, puts us in mortal danger. And the reason it does is because it begins to actually sever the ties that hold us all together. In America, there are a million things that pull us apart, relatively few things that hold us together. Our common language is an important part of what holds us together. We are destroying that. We are becoming a bilingual nation. In some areas, of course, multilingual. And that is not healthy. Being multilingual or bilingual as a person is great, but as a country, it's deadly. And we're facing that internally while we face a foe in Islamofascism that seeks our demise. And it is a clash of civilizations, I believe, that we are in. I believe it is the West against Islamofascism. I believe that they want to return, that the Islamic radicals, the jihadists, want to create, they've said it, I mean, we've seen it, and I've quoted it in my book, all of the references to the desire to create a caliphate all over the world. I mean, they want to throw us back 1,400 years to the Dark Ages. These are people who are intent on their mission, and they know exactly who they are. And we may consider them only to be a few people and just call them terrorists. But the reality is terrorists and terrorism are not things against which you can go to war. Terrorism is a tactic. It is not the entity with which you are at war. We are at war with Islamofascism. And to be successful in that war, we have to know who we are, along with knowing who our enemy is. And I fear that we are having a harder and harder time understanding either one of those two things.
Well, and I think you make the case extremely well in your book, In Mortal Danger, that these are some of the significant implications beyond the obvious that Americans are encountering due to illegal immigration and amnesty. I have to ask this question before we run out of time, Congressman Tancredo. I've heard about a website called tancredoforprez.blogspot.com. What do you make of it? You're laughing.
It's quite flattering, of course. Not too long ago, I actually won a straw poll of the Republican. It was a county in Michigan, and they had a straw poll for president, and I won. And the moral of the story, both of those things, is if you want to win an election, or I guess have a website up with that in there, then don't campaign, don't go spend any money, don't even show up. And I never I have anything to do with either one of those two events, but I am of course flattered.
Well, maybe you just stand strong in your principles, and actually the American public will take notice.
Well, and God bless them for doing it and having the interest in this issue. It is the issue. To the extent that any of this stuff about Tancredo for president has any, you know, I mean, people send me bumper stickers, and they'll have them printed, and you can get them off the website, and they'll say, and it's a Tancredo for president. And I always write a little note back and say, I really appreciate it. But you have to remember that these things are usually just conversation starters, and the conversation usually starts with, who the heck is Tom Tancredo? But the fact is that people know me because of the issue, and they are getting, you know, their teeth into this, and they are telling their elected representatives that they've had enough. They're telling them at the state, they're telling them at the federal level. And from my point of view, I couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, I'm very pleased that the issue has finally gravitated to the point where it's now the hottest topic in town. So
I have a new response for you. When they send you and people want to know who you are, they can get your book, In Mortal Danger.
Yes,
because
that's
who you
Amazon.
Are that's
.com
what you stand for
store.
I'm sorry, tell us again where they can get it.
Well, Amazon.com has it. They actually sold out the first week, but they now have a new supply, and so you can go on Amazon and get it, or at Borders or any of the other bookstores. They're all carrying it, or at least they should. If they're not, you go in and tell the manager,
there,
why aren't you carrying that Tancredo book?
That's right. That's absolutely right. Don't they know who he is? Well, listen, we've got a caller on the line. We've only got about a minute left. Is it okay if we take his call real
quick?
Okay, go ahead. Bill, it's your turn.
Yeah, Congressman Tancredo, it's a hot topic for me. Why don't you enlighten us on the Mexican Constitution about how they handle illegal aliens in that country?
Yes, every time I go down to Mexico, the press is really quite aggressive, and they all, you know, come swarming around, and they'll be yelling and screaming at me. And I always say, look, what am I asking my country to do that Mexico doesn't do? You know, you protect your borders. If I came here to Mexico illegally, could I send my kids to school? Could I get a job? Could I get medical care? Of course not. I would end up in a, they call them a detention center, and I have visited them. And let me tell you something. If you ever saw the movie Midnight Express about this prison in Turkey, I think it was, that's what it reminded me of when I went in there. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible place. They send their army down to their southern border and round up, and I mean that in the worst possible way, round up Guatemalans periodically. They are very strict about people coming into their country illegally. And I always say, you know, why is it okay for Mexico to have a very tough policy on illegal immigration, but demand it from us? And why do we, on the other hand, acquiesce to it? Well, the answer, of course, is money. Follow the money. It is cheap labor here, and it is $20 billion a year that is sent home by that cheap labor here to Mexico. It now comprises, well, at 75 bucks a barrel, I'm not sure, but it's either one or two in terms of the amount of money Mexico makes from foreign sources. It's usually Pemex, their oil and gas company, or remittances from the United States, from their illegals working here that send money home. So follow the money, and you'll see why we are where we are.
Okay, and read the book. It's called In Mortal Danger, The Battle for America's Border and Security, and get the answers, the less than obvious answers, why we need to stand strong on immigration. Congressman Tancredo, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and thank you for writing this book. Again, it's available at Amazon.com. You can get it at any local bookstore. If they don't have it, ask them for it. It's called In Mortal Danger, The Battle for America's Border and Security. Thank you again for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.